Hello, hello, hello! Before we begin today's episode, we have a listener limerick from Baguette about baguettes. Made from a dough that is lean, it's a symbol of French cuisine. Though origin contested, this bread can't be bested. The baguette's the absolute queen. Thank you so, so much for your support. If you, too, would like a silly and mostly terrible limerick about a topic of your choice, you, too, can check out ko-fi.com/backagainpodcast, where, if you leave an arguably PG-13 topic in the description box, I'll write you something awful in return. Thank you so much again to Baguette, and on to the episode. Back again, episode 18. Birthdays. Failings. And then, 'twas very suddenly, by my very best estimation, September 24th. I was terrified and just as superstitious as I am in the here and now about birthdays. Let's see. Should we examine all of my superstitions in the here and now? Should we draw back the curtain and ponder how I mark time and mark time and mark time instead of actually living? Out of some stupid fear that if I get too comfortable here that I will never be allowed to leave? That first birthday when in Isaiah. Gods, was I afraid to go to bed. It's my own bit of prophecy. The closest I ever got to having a poet's grace. In a vague way, I predicted the mornings of my simultaneous first 23rd and second 17th birthdays, bolting upright to find my clock flashing back at me, past midnight, a new day, a world fairy, and horrifically normal. Isaiah, beautiful dream. Quick to fade away. I was right on several counts and wrong on one. Maybe someday the fading will happen quickly. For now, I'm still a fool, which means I'm still holding on. It's been so long. It's been years, listener. And yet, I march in place. I mark time. I don't think I've ever told you about the night before my 18th birthday here in this world. My second 18th birthday. The parallel to the Rysaean one I am about to have in our narrative. I'd genuinely, believed that it would happen that night. It, my way back. I went to sleep before midnight, a handful of minutes. I wore armor to sleep, my Rysaean clothes. Do you know how uncomfortable that is? I just thought maybe the veil, the Rysaean equivalent of the veil, the, you know, wormhole or whatever it was, it would be thinnest on my anniversary. That it would give me the best shot, so gathered up all the luck I could, and I hoped. And I turned 18 again anyways. And I got up and went to school, and I threw myself a pity party on the floor of my room afterwards, definitely not spiraling at all, and watched Narnia and allowed myself to cry only those stupid laying on your side tears that appear whether or not you're sad. Now I'm 19. I won't pretend that I didn't have an almost identical day a few months ago. Except I skipped class, and after waking up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night, still hoping against hope that I would have woken up somewhere other than my room, I chucked my armor to my apartment floor and tried not to scream my disappointment and went back to bed until well past noon. Marking time versus living. I don't even know what the latter would look like. Calling something home with all your chest and actually meaning it? Making friends that you don't hesitate to get closer than 2 feet apart from? Let's see, in this life, I am just like every other university student. Hesitating and tripping over calling the place I am living home. Because, is it? Is it? Is home the place you live, or the place you're from, or the place that makes your throat close up when you're away from it? Is home a person that you love? Can it be a place you've only gone once? Can it be a place that you can never go back to? I am just like every other university student, hesitating and tripping over calling the place that I am living home. I am also unknowable and impossible, because home is people and places in a whole other world that I saw for less than 10 minutes of this one. I am like every other university student. I went to Freshers' Week events and made plans with people I'd never talked to again and joined clubs because as much as I can't deal with the differences in this world and these people, children, really, who still feel like they have a future in front of them, something to reach out and grab onto, I cannot stand to be alone. I play D&D with co-workers and go every Thursday evening and Sunday morning to a campus writing group where I listen to other people's works and never ever share anything of my own because, God, what a mortification that would be, because God's above most of my frantic scribbling is still just this, vomiting up my own history before I forget, but still, and still, and still. I cannot shake the urge that if I allow myself to grow roots stronger than what it takes to keep me standing, that I will not be able to be carried away when the time comes. That is still the only future I can think up. Isaiah or nothing at all. Isaiah or... I don't know what could even come next. I want to be selfless, listen this. I want to say, if the price of freedom, of the Fretham success, of my home being remade was my own exile, I am happy to pay it. One person's pain for the lives of a million people, but the words stick in my throat when I say them in anything but the hypothetical. In the abstract, it's worth it. Every damn time. In practice, I'm tired. I am lonely. I would give up nearly anything to go home. My magic, my sight, my tongue and teeth and as much of every part of me that I could while still breathing. I don't think I would care if every step was screaming pain, knives and agony. I don't think I would even hesitate before saying yes. But I stay here and stay here and stay here. I was always so afraid that this was where I'd end back up. It was September 23rd. By my best estimate, counting days out of this exact fear, and I did not want to go to sleep. Do you know how terrified I was? The day that my birthday came in Rhizea, to the best of my knowledge, I mean. I've read the stories. Everything in chosen child stories is cyclical, is it not? Find the lamppost, push through the coats the same way you did before, stumble over your siblings and emerge 8 years old. Back to the beginning. I always knew somewhere deep inside of me that my birthday would be the wardrobe, be my lamppost, but that was not a plot of land I could forever skitter around. Time marches on, and the day loomed, and I feared it, and feared it, and feared it. Time marches on, even if we think we are holding still. I stayed awake, clinging to the pretense of being on watch, fear half choking me, vice grip around my throat, till the sunrise came. This was Rhizea, listeners. This was the good world. So, of course, I did not sit alone.
Back Again is written and produced by me, Abigail Eliza. If you're enjoying the show, please consider leaving a review on your podcast platform of choice or supporting Back Again on Patreon at patreon.com/backagainpodcast, where you'll gain access to bloopers, annotated transcripts, episode sneak peeks, and more. If you'd like to hear more about the show, visit us on Twitter, Instagram, or Tumblr at Back Again Podcast, or on TikTok at Abigail Eliza Writes. Our outro music is Nightingales by Pierce Murphy from the album To Japan and is licensed under an attribution license. The song was retrieved from freemusicarchive.org. Visit the description of this episode for full copyright information and a link to the page. Sound effect attribution, similarly, can be found in the episode description. If you've made it this far, thanks for sticking around. Please remember that you do not have to fill your days with action and creation to be worthy of the space you take up. You were made already whole. The light-soaked days are coming. I promise. I hope you have a wonderful day. Quick yabba dabba doo before I start doing this episode. It's currently hot and it's finally gotten dark, which means the temperature is dropping, but I can't open the windows or have my fans on because I'm trying to record this. So I'm just sitting here sweating buckets. Okay, let's go. Making friends that you don't hesitate to get